Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to listen to the podcast. Enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. So, forgive me, I've been busy. I did my own boxing kickboxing card here in the Fort Worth area where I live here in Texas, and it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. There are so many moving pieces, and it is extremely difficult, so I didn't have the extra time to get the podcast in and do the right kind of study, but we are heading into probably the biggest kickboxing weekend of the year, so I want to make sure that I get as much action as I can to you guys between what's going on in the kickboxing world, what's going on in the Muay Thai world. There's just so much. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the action. We're going to start with some results before we go into, of course, the big Glory Card, K-Festa, and some of the Rise tournament, of course, with a turn of tension. We got a little bit of everything. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. First, I'm going to start off. We are going to go to Bangkok, Thailand, for one championship. They had an event there, and again, you know, sometimes they do kickboxing with the, you know, with the gloves. Sometimes they do it with the MMA gloves. But I'll go ahead and just bring up some of those results. Shutmak Tong, a fighter Muay Thai gym, gets a victory over Charlie Peters. Majority decision fight. Was clearly not what Charlie was hoping. Charlie Peters, you know, wanted to stick with Four Rules Muay Thai. You know, he had some kickboxing offers. He's still a very talented guy. Just ran into a better guy in this night. You know, it was close. And Peters, even though, of course, he's coming off the big win of his career by getting the victory over Liam Harrison, even though, you know, he's, you know, finally, you know, dethroned the what everyone would, you know, what most people should consider the all-time greatest fighter from England, you know, resume-wise, by him getting that victory, he still, in the rest of his career, has had mixed results when he's gone against international opposition. Liam Harrison's had a little bit more success against international opposition, you know, in terms of who he's fought Full Rules Muay Thai, you know, all the different places that he's fought over the world, kickboxing and so on. I'd still give him a strong lean in that direction for Harrison. So Peters, that's the next goal for him to accomplish. Now that he's got the victory, he needs to go out and get the international wins to build his resume. And he's got the skill to do it. But just this particular night, Shutmak Tong was just a better guy. And the story goes on for Peters. The big hope, of course, is that they don't sit him on a shelf for a really long time, because they do have a history of doing that with ONE FC. They just have these gaps where they're trying to figure out what's next, and you don't get to fight as much as we'd like to see you. A guy like Peters, I hope to see four times a year at least. So whether he fights three times in ONE and two more times in England, that works for me. But this one was not the start that he's hoping with the company. Shutmak Tong gets the victory and moves forward. Superlek Kiet Mong 9 gets victory over Lau Chatri. Unanimous decision. Superlek, of course, the talent. He's one of the Thais where I wondered, you know, management's the main reason why a Thai fighter is able to get on the international stage and going against international opposition. As far as Full Rules Muay Thai goes, clearly the best guys that he's going to go against are still the people that he faces in Thailand and in the stadiums. But, you know, there are some guys who I want to see how their skill set looks against the rest of the world. Not necessarily if they are as good or, you know, are equal to or, you know, far superior. I'm not talking about that in terms of me wanting to see guys from Thailand get international opportunities. The main reason why I want to see it is because I want to see what their style looks like when they go against some of the better guys. And even if it's a dominant victory, I want to see it. So sometimes when you guys hear me on the show, you'll hear me say something, and of course I've got you know, a fan base that's really, really heavy into Full Rules Muay Thai, and you know, they're critical of me when I'm not as big into Thailand or don't bring up the stadium fights as much. They're usually really critical of me, and sometimes they ask me to, you know, look at Thailand as the best in the world, period, and not look at how these guys do when they look at international. They don't like some, not all, but some would prefer that I not encourage you to leave and go against lesser opposition in the international stage. The reason why I like it is because I like the aesthetic of, you know, of value of seeing that skill set work against guys outside of the country. I want it, you know, I've seen great Thai versus great Thai. Sometimes I want to see the great Thai style versus a strong kickboxing style. And again, I don't need you to win. I just need to see, and I don't need you to, you know, to lose. It's not so much about the win-loss value of it. The thing that really gives that kind of fight value to me is that I'm seeing your skill set and what it looks like when you go against someone else. So I bring the example up all the time. It's really, really cool that Paul Briggs grew up, dominated Australia, went out to Japan, fought the Japan champion out there, went to Thailand, lost to Jamad. Like, that's cool. That's cool to me. You know, like, I think that's really cool. Sorry, I apologize if you guys hear barking in the background. But that's really cool to me. You know, like, that that really has a lot of value to me in terms of seeing high-level kickboxing in Muay Thai. I really like that aspect of it. So with Superlek getting the victory here, it's more of me getting to see that. Joe Nottawatt gets a victory over Sami Sana. And Joe is a guy he's starting to develop a reputation for being a, you know, have gloves, will fight type mentality. He is a solid guy from Thailand. Not, in my opinion, one of the better products to come out of Thailand as far as skill goes. But he's still extremely good, you know. And he puts on some really entertaining fights. He gets a victory over Sami Sana here. You know, the more Joe fights, the better. I mean, it's just cool to see him out there doing his thing. I'm a fan of Joe Nottawatt. Next fight on the card I'm going to talk about, got two more. Kongsek PK Sanchai Muay Thai Gym gets a victory over Avaredi Ramazanov. Split decision that one, really, really close. Kongsek, you know, was did enough to edge it out, of course, played the Thai style. He's right strike, right time. You know, Kongsek's always been good about that. And, I mean, I just think that we need more people like Avaredi Ramazanov to emerge and really compete, because you don't want it to be one-sided, you know, Thai versus the world type cards. You don't want this to turn into a Thai fight. You want really good international opposition to push the Thai fighters that you're trying to, you know, present in the ONE Championship Series. So good job by Alvaretti and really making a very, very competitive fight. And then lastly, Nang O is the man. You know what I'm saying? He gets a victory over Han Zi Hoi. Nang O, I talked about it before. You know, his talent is just otherworldly. I'm like, man, is this guy good. And, you know, there's a lot of talented Thais, and he's just one of my favorites that they're using right now. And I'm always down to see him fight. I don't care who it is. He's a very, very good fighter. So, now again, the majority of this card, as I mentioned before, it was based in Thailand, but, you know, it was kind of a mix back and forth of the Muay Thai and MMA, of course, because that's kind of what ONE does. And I'm cool with that. But I really like that, despite that mix and despite the fact that, you know, a lot of the bigger signings that people have paid attention to lately are MMA signings, man, it's really cool that Nango is doing his thing at the top of their card, because this guy is special. And just when he came back last year and he beat Pinto, came back last year and he beat Fabio Pinca. I remember the feel that I got afterwards is, how good is this guy to just be on the shelf chilling for 3 years and come back and perform like that? So glad that they finished the card with him, because he really, really is an exceptional talent. I think I'm going to go. I got some good options here. Well, let's go ahead and go to Infusion, because Infusion had one of the better wins of the year already, and a battle between the company's one and two guys. You know, I said that on a previous podcast, but you can also make the argument, for sure, you can also make the argument that the Superbond is up there with the two guys that I'm going to mention shortly. But for me, for my money, Typhoon Oskin and Andy Semelier are the one and two guys for the promotion. Let's go ahead and rock through the card. Mohamed Boutasse gets a victory over Bahaz Koshna. I was not able to get to see that one. Khalid El Mukaddam gets a victory over Khalid Hamid. That's a good win for Khalid because Hamid is a guy who's a regular for the promotion, and I've seen him fight quite a few times. So if Mukaddam can move forward and be, you know, one of the hit guys, he's got something. Hamza Hasela gets a victory over Lafogo Surar. by decision. I wasn't able to see that one. Robin Kirk gets a victory over Jinti Namadim. Extra round decision there. Also a fight I wasn't able to see. Bilal Lakhil gets a victory over Radan Lukubi. Very big win there for, I believe it's pronounced Lukili. He showed me some talent. I need to see more. Lukubi is kind of one of those guys who I see outside looking in. Capable of pulling off an upset here and there, but for the most part, he is a solid kickboxer in the, you know, on the Dutch scene, and a victory over him is a good victory, but not someone that I jump out of the gym about talent-wise, as far as being one of the better fighters in the world. Just a really good fighter. So we'll see what he is moving forward. Levy Rickards gets a victory over Nadi Chiri, a unanimous decision in a heavyweight title fight. Levy Rickards is a guy who I would not consider him, at this point, one of the better kickboxers in the world, but he's starting to develop a resume to get himself into the conversation. So if I did my top 10, he wouldn't be my top 10. If I did my top 20, he'd be kind of on the outside towards that 20-ish. But he's putting together some good fights. He's putting together some good wins, and we'll see what he becomes down the road. Tafun Askin is able to win a victory in a 5-round fight over Andy Semelier. I think there were 3 rounds that everyone had clear for Askin. I believe, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, was it 1-3-4? I can't remember. But, you know, I think I've seen some 4-1 scorecards and so on. The thing that matters most is Semelier is young. He's going to be a guy 4 years down the road, you're still going to be talking about how good this guy is. You know, he's going to be one of the fighters that if you don't know him now, you will know him in the future. He is such a talent. And he beat Superbon easy. Like when they fought, his skill set on that particular night, now it's a tournament, should come into play that is a tournament. I can already feel people yelling at me for saying he won easy. It's a tournament, and the damage that you take into the last fight really, really dictates how well you perform. And it could have just been a night where Superbon took some injuries and he wasn't able to let the hands go like he normally does. Wasn't able to get into his offense like he normally does. But the real, real factor here is Tafun Askin is such a talent. He is such... since the loss... I think the last loss that he had, you go ahead and take away the injury. That, you know, I definitely don't look at the fight that he had where he had the injury in the tournament. Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember the date on that one. But anyways, when he had the injury and he had that loss, I don't count that as much as I go back to the, you know, one of the fight of the year candidates and one of the best fights you're ever going to see. When he went against Muhammad Jiraiya. That's the last time I felt like he lost a fight. You know, it was a good fight, but he lost. Jiraiya had more in round, the extra round, and he gets the victory there. Since then, Tafun Askin has just been on fire, and he's looked great in all of his fights. You know, you just take away that one injury loss, and, you know, he's just been amazing. So for him to continue to do what he does, and he's such a great dude. I told you guys about a year ago he was with me in Thailand. I was out there, and he came to train at the infusion gym that I was training at, the Super Pro Samui. So it's really, really cool that he is out here doing good things and winning. It's just really, really cool. So we're going to go ahead and move on to another card as we're all over the place. We're in Bangkok. That infusion took place in Holland. Now let's go ahead and take ourselves to... you know, there was also... I didn't get all of these fights, but I will mention some of the winners because... The card that I talked about was Infusion 79. There was an Infusion 78. I can run off some of the winners. I just didn't get a hold of all of the fights. That's why I didn't want to let you guys down and just kind of do a review card. But some of them I think are significant because one of them had one of the early candidates for KO of the year. Sofyan Khodori's KO of Andre Brohl. The spinning back kick was just as beautiful a shot as you can land. And it was kind of by the ropes and it just didn't have the, it wasn't just that it was like a well set up one kind of in space where you expected. This one happened during an exchange and he had just enough room and he let it go and he landed it right perfect on Brohl's jaw. Just absolutely beautiful stuff. Sofyan Khodori, I'll be paying attention to you a lot more moving forward. I've always thought you were a good fighter, but that, having that kind of a highlight, that gets people behind you. So really good stuff there. Norden van Roosmalen gets a victory over Marcel Verheer. I wasn't able to see that. Of course, Norden's been doing good things for the company. He's been winning for You know, he's been winning consistently in Holland for a while. That was a good stuff there by Norden. Yusuf El Hajj gets a victory over Melvin Wasing. Haji is solid, but I need to see more from him. But the victory over Wasing is definitely solid because Wasing's fought in Holland and done well for quite some time. Khalid El Bakari gets a victory over Sufyan Asa by decision. Good stuff there for Bakari. I still think he's another one of those guys outside looking in, but still a good victory. My favorite, most significant victory on this card for me was Anka Van Gastel's victory over Sorel DeJong because it proves that Van Gastel, who's... I've been talking about Van Gastel for a while, but I think she's only 23 or 24 years old because she burst on the scene as an 18, 19-year-old doing really good things, fighting out of Belgium and getting international opportunities and how she did in the Worlds and as far as, you know, Worlds Muay Thai. She's been doing it for so long. But since some of the other girls have moved on, Van Gastel has been a consistent winner in the weight class. One of the best fighters, female fighters in the world. Shout out to Van Gastel for getting the victory here. Sorel DeJong last year was my female fighter of the year. I thought she had a great year. You know, super talent, but Van Gastel had her number and was able to get the victory. So good stuff there. Nabil Hayeli gets a victory over Kyle Todd. If you did not see that one. And Gordon Kala Khan gets a victory over Jordan El Kababi. I was not able to see either of those two fights, but I wanted to bring the winners of those fights up just because I just did the card. So good stuff there. I'm going to keep it rolling. Keep it rolling with some of these results. We're going to go ahead and go to Kunlun. We're all over the place, folks. Kunlun had a heavyweight tournament, and it crowned to me one of the more talented kickboxers in the world. Man, is this guy skilled. He is a very, very good fighter. And I'm always excited to see him perform and do good things. But let's go ahead and start rocking through, you know, the tournament and some of the results in the tournament. Asiati gets a victory over Daniel Sam, scores 4 knockdowns in 2 rounds. Daniel Sam is one of my favorite kickboxers / Muay Thai fighters in the world because he really is just he's a professional. He understands it. He's going to come to work. And there are fights where he's been losing and he's come back and won. And there's fights where he's been winning and he's lost. And there's fights where he's been outclassed. And there's fights where he's outclassed people. But the number one thing that you get from when you get Daniel Sam to sign your contract, he's showing up and somebody's in a fight because that's how he gets down. He does not take rounds off. He's a tough, solid, hard-nosed fighter. And I'm always excited to see him get in there, win, lose, or draw. Asahati, good talent. Needs some significant wins, and so far he'll have like a step forward, step back kind of career. This was a big time win for him to kind of send the message in this one. Next, we had Jermaine Moraes gets a defeats Laraj Espori by majority decision, but due to injury, I believe Laraj Espori moves on. Aziz Poor moves on, but he had lost Jermaine Moraes. And a majority decision in a tough fight early in this tournament. Raid Apokic gets a victory over Louis by TKO. And, I mean, they're trying to develop solid heavyweight kickboxers. They're trying to develop just good kickboxers in general in China. The heavyweight division's had some mixed results. But Raid Apokic gets a victory here and moves on. And then Roman Kriklia gets a victory over Martin Piquez by decision. Roman Kriklia, one of the more talented kickboxers on the planet, he moves on in the tournament. We had 2 tournaments going. David Kiria gets a victory over Feng Zili in a tournament that started last year. We're kind of winding down. He gets a victory, scores a TKO to the body. I believe it was a front kick, and really, David Kiria continues what's his second magical run of his career. Gets that victory there. And the other side of the bracket, we had Maron Tatu get a very close victory over Zionist Zouave. 30-29, 29-29, 29-29, and 2 cards, 29-30, and then 29-28, and the winning judge. I mean, it's as close as you could be. He really did put on a good show, Zouave, in the tournament, but Maron Tatu, who's most known for being, you know, the knockout that he received to Bukau, since then, man, has he had a good year. Got some good wins. He's been moving forward. Shout out to him. Zhu Boitong gets a victory over Tomoyuki Nishikawa. And Boitong is Nishikawa is a long stay in Japan and a guy that you've seen on a lot of cards. I'm a big fan of his as far as just being again, hard-nosed, hard-working, have gloves, will fight type mentality. I'm a fan there. So he gets the victory, he goes against Boitong, who gets the victory. Boitong is a solid Chinese fighter. I don't put him at the top, but he's definitely one of the better ones for the country. Good shot, good stuff, and good win for him. Davik Kyria gets a victory over Marat Tatu in a very, very, very close fight. Very close fight. It's just, I feel like the scorecards were okay with me. I thought that you could make an argument for either guy. But, man, Davik Kyria, it's just seeing him win, seeing him be emotional, it just took me back to where he pulled off one of the bigger upsets in kickboxing because he was down, with a knockdown. He was down 3-1, as he, looking up at Andy Ristie, who was on fire at that time, and Andy Ristie, who... To me, Andy Ristie may have had the greatest single year in kickboxing as far as the year he had where he was Fighter of the Year, where he beat by stoppage Petrosian and Ruzmalin. It might be one of the most special things I've ever seen in kickboxing ever. Ristie was on fire when he went against Davik Kyria. Davik Kyria gets the victory on that one, and then, of course, he lost the title to Ruzmalin in Oklahoma after it. Since then, he had mixed results and was no longer with Glory Kickboxing. And he just kind of had some time where he's trying to find himself. Gets a long-term deal in China, which is, of course, a little bit better for him location-wise because he's from Georgia and old Russia, Georgia, not America, Georgia. So, when I see the tournament, I see the field, I'm confident at some period of time he's going to lose. He's going to put on a good show, but someone's going to get him skill-wise. But he was able to throw the right kind of bombs. He beat some really, really good guys in that tournament, and then he gets his hand raised at the end of it all. Seeing him emotional just kind of let, it made my day bright. It was so cool to see. Davik Kyria really, really put in a lot of work in this, and he really pushed hard. So shout out to Davik Kyria and the long story of one of the better kickboxing careers that if you're not paying attention, you'll miss the cool things that he's done in his life. Anissa Hedo gets a victory over Zhang Ji. It was a, TKO, so it was an injury that stopped Zhang, but Anissa was looking good before. Anissa Hedo, one of the better kickboxers in the world. She lost some decision last time. A lot of people felt like she should have won. But they've been using her pretty regular. She gets at least 3 fights a year in Kunlun, and I'm excited to see, what she becomes down the road. And, she's very talented. She's very talented. So I would say her skill set has her as one of the top 10 kickboxers on the planet without question. No hesitation. Stringing the wins together consistently comes into play. So it's important that she, stays with it, keeps growing, keeps getting better. Hopefully, whether Glory Kickboxing does the weight class down the road or K-1 or even Kunlun does it in a way where it's just on a, bigger stage where they profile a little bit more, Anissa Hedo will get more of a platform for people to see how good she is. Araj Azizpour gets a victory over Asihata, knockout in the 3rd round, which I think is important to him mentally because of the fact that he lost and moved forward, it's usually a little weird feeling there. Roman Kriklia gets 5 knockdowns in 2 rounds to get a victory over Raid Apachik. Roman Kriklia, I said it before, what a talent at kickboxing, into kickboxing. Just very skilled, long, has good, strong, he's looks wiry, but there's muscle to him. He's a strong guy, and, it's just really cool to see him get the victory and move forward. And then the tournament final is him versus Araj Azizpour, and it was awesome. It was just, you see how talented this guy is, and you see him put it together, and you see him get the victory over Azizpour. Azizpour is good, and he has really good pro-am record and really good in the tournament. He's very, very good. But it's just so cool that Roman Kriklia was able to put on such a performance. It's so cool that Davik Kyria was able to put on such a performance. I really like this tournament. I like the results to it, and it just kind of put a smile to my face to see those athletes perform in that way. We're now going to move from the results portion of the card, and move into what a lot of you guys are looking forward to, the breakdown of it. Now, again, you guys know I work for Glory Kickboxing, so I will only bring that down in terms of matchups. You know, I'm going to do any predictions there, but I do not work for K1, and I do not work for Rise, so I get to say whatever I want in those tournaments. It's going to be a lot more fun for me as far as having the ability to pick out who I think is going to be the winner. I am going to go ahead and do Glory first. That way I mix it up a little bit, and I will finish with the K-Festa show, and I'll put Rise in the middle. Oh, let's do Rise next. Let's do Rise, because Rise has got the very interesting Tenshin Nasukawa. Now, of course, we know Tenshin Nasukawa, probably the best young prospect to come out of Japan in combat sports in who knows how long. You know what I'm saying? He is a special talent. He's extremely, extremely... his kickboxing is smooth. His movement is smooth. You know, he's got good Muay Thai. He was in one of the he was in my fight of the year last year. Most people's fight of the year. Nasukawa versus Rod Tong. He's all action. He's got that look. He's got that appeal. And this is the fight where we figure out what's still there after the whole situation with Mayweather. Like it's just, it's clearly, you guys know, I won't go into what I talked at length about how the Mayweather thing was just pretty much doomed the moment they decided that, oh no, we're going to, you know, do this fight, but there's going to be no kickboxing at all. And for him to get dropped, you know, by a guy who's literally like 40 pounds bigger than him, you know, three times and stopped in the first round, the towel thrown in, it's not good. Not a good look. Not a good look. Wasn't done. Easiest payday for Mayweather. Kept him relevant because he likes still being a part of the scene. What we all wanted to see was would he dare to allow kicking at some period of time. But there's a reason why he's called Money Mayweather. He would never put himself in that situation. It would have just been cool to see. But because of it, it made a lot of people pay attention to who Nasukawa was. And clearly, if he could do it over, they would have just played conservative and gone the distance. But, you know, it just didn't go that way. He ran into the best boxer, you know, one of the great boxers of all time. And he lost. And it was one-sided. And it made a lot of people wonder, what were they thinking? Because that was literally a worst-case scenario in making that fight. So here he is. He goes into this tournament. Some of the names: Telesan Gomes Ferreira, Frederico Roma, very solid guy there. Fred Cordero, also solid. Sir Kim PK Sanchai Muay Thai Gym. The management at Sanchai Muay Thai Gym is good because those guys are getting a lot of international opportunities, not just also winning in the stadium. So, you know, they're in contention for Gym of the Year every year. It helps that this is happening. Shiro also in that card. And then Rotang Jitmunganon, the person of which Nasukawa had the fight of the year last year, all in the tournament field. In a perfect world, because it's what people want to see again, Nasukawa meets Rod Tong. Not that the other guys aren't talented. Frederico Roma is talented. Cordero is talented. Fiera, solid. I don't know if I put him on a Rod Tong level, but definitely a guy who's got the tools. Shiro and Sirkim, of course, just kind of depends how the tournament works out. Clearly, you don't want... I know Rise doesn't want Ty versus Ty at the end of it, but you never know. Just the way they want to work the brackets out. I think everybody wants Nasukawa versus Rotong to fight again. I think the chances of it happening are really high. You know, I think that it's going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be the kind of tournament that people want. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm fine with any winner. I'm fine with any winner. That's a lie. I want Rotong or Tenshin to win. In particular, if Rotong can win and then they can do a third fight with Tenshin, just, you know, because of my history in kickboxing, we really are a rematch sport. What I mean by rematch is I'm not talking about there was just one time. If you have to look up rematches, then you know that there's not a lot of them. And I remember I did a story for Liver Kick back in the day, and I said how kickboxing is a rematch sport. And when someone got a hold of it, I remember they went and found all the MMA rematches that they could find. And I go, no. At best in MMA, you've got somebody will fight three times. But in kickboxing, there are years where, you know, some guys will fight three times in the year or three times in a calendar year. You know, it's just over 365 days or three times in the calendar year. There is people who fought five and six times before. And the first time Peter Arts and Hoost fought, I want to say, was in 87. So at the end of their careers, I think they fought maybe nine times against each other. That's a lot of rematches. So if I could get that from Nasukawa and Rotong moving forward, that would be awesome. So that's my hope for the tournament, that I get a great feud between Nasukawa and Rotong that will last for several years. Just because I'm greedy, that's what I want to see. So I will now go on to the Glory 64 card. And again, as I mentioned to you guys before, I will do my best to bring this up more in terms of matchup versus matchup and not so much bring out a winner. Hasas has returned to kickboxing and returned to the Glory fighting, saying she will meet Jiwon Lee. We haven't seen either girl in a while. In fact, we haven't seen either girl since the first round of the Glory bantamweight tournament. In that tournament, Hasas lost early to Tiffany Von Soos, who's fighting on the card, is fighting for the title again. And Jiwon Lee also lost early on that tournament. But those things aside, these two ladies are fighting tonight. Right fight, right time. Should be entertaining. Lee's kind of got, she's a good-sized girl, but she kind of plays a patient style. Looks for offense, clean offense in space. Is able to let her hands go in moments. Just not a hitter. Hasas actually has got pretty good kickboxing when she gets into her flow. I think that she watched a little bit too much when she fought Von Soos the first time. So she'll be excited to get in there and see if she can get her combinations and her low kicks going. Of course, she's dating Gregorian. And, you know, it's just they've talked about that match before, so I won't go into it anymore. But she's a talent, and we'll see what comes from her moving forward. Daniel Cross is going against Mathia Silva at middleweight. Middleweight's a division that, you know, Glory, we've been bringing in more guys. We're looking for more contenders. So I'm definitely curious to see how these two locals put together a fight. I got to see more from them before I can give you a good critique. Daniel Cross and Mathieu Sivet should be a entertaining one, and we will see what that brings about. Vincent Fasciani gets a fight with River Daz. River Daz is one of the best young talents in Australia, period. Man, is this kid good. You know, he's adopting from the, you know, the full rules Muay Thai scene that they have there in Australia, but he's got good kickboxing skills. He's got a good low kick. He's got good kick, counter kick returns. Fosciani is in what would be a step up for him. I think that he's showed, you know, okay skill in his victory, but, you know, matchup-wise, he definitely got a tough draw on the first one. But at the same time, he's used to training with and going against European opposition and kickboxing. So a lot of people can make the argument that he's got that scene to back on, whereas Daz is used to, you know, being the alpha. He really is the alpha over in Australia and, you know, being that guy in that period of time. So or being that guy for that part of the world. So it'd be fun to see how this matches up, where a guy who has the kickboxing style goes against a guy who's, you know, got the fight resume and the skill set, but hasn't fought straight kickboxing as much. So it should be fun between those two. Danny Tereja gets a fight with Jeremy Antonio. Again, welterweight division is probably Glory's strongest kickboxing division. Like, there's a lot of talent in the division, up through the ranks. Even America has produced some really, really good guys in the welterweight division right now. It's going to be fun to see where this goes. So good stuff for both guys and, good matchup for both guys. And hopefully a contender will emerge, which is kind of our goal in every kickboxing event. Ertuğrul Bayrak gets a fight against Jakob Steiben. Steiben, one of the better young German prospects. We're curious to see what he becomes. Again, middleweight, that division, you know, we're trying to grow in Glory, trying to get new talent in. Bayrak is talented. Turkish fighter, 17-6. He's had some really, really good fights. He's just a good talent to watch. I'm excited to know where he goes and where things are coming from for this fight. So it should be a lot of fun. Jerick Bellet gets a fight against Michael Palandre. And again, two French prospects, both only two losses. Lightweight, fun. And again, I've seen both of these guys fight before, and they both showed good kickboxing skill set. They really, really have. But against each other and then situating themselves so they can move forward and go against someone elite, this is a good fight, good time for both guys. Should be fun. I'm excited to see where this goes. Alexei Alianov gets a fight with Massaro Glunder. Man, fireworks. This one should be a lot of fun. You know Glunder. Glunder gets his spacing. He can really throw heat. Glunder showed me one of the better kickboxing performances I've seen from him when he fought in Denver last year. And then the fight, of course, it's kind of a weird style anytime someone goes against Van Nostrand. So, you know, he's coming off that fight, and we'll see what happens to him, you know, as he kind of gets back to a guy who's got more of a style he's used to. Alianov also coming off, you know, he's coming off a win, if I remember correctly. He's a good fighter. Good fighter. This is good matchup. Good matchup, good time. Alianov is like, hey, can I get a victory over a guy who used to be at the top of the division, you know, who's fought in Japan before? And Glunder's like, can I right the ship with this type of fight? You know, Alianov is not going to be the weird style that I dealt with last time. So, should be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see where this fight, where this card goes. Itay Gershon goes against William Goldie Galloway. Gershon is doing good things. Before Gershon got to glory, I thought that the way he fought against higher opposition had been hit and miss. You know, there are days where I liked him and days where I was like, nah, just okay. And since he's been in glory, he's had a pretty good run. You know, matchup-wise, it's worked out for him. But, you know, he's in terms of his skill set versus the skill set of the guys that he's gone against. But there's something to how you behave when you feel you're the better guy. And he really sent a message when he fought in New York last year. It's the most that anyone's ever seen him let his hands go. And if he can be that same person out in France, we're really going to have an entertaining, fun card. William Goldie Galloway fought a really, really good fight in his glory debut, you know, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, you can take the loss and move forward when you show that much skill. And the moment he fought, my first thought was, I want to see that Galloway kid again, you know, because he is a talent, and him versus Gershon, skill-wise, matchup-wise, could end up being the fight of the night in this card. It really is well-matched. So, should be good stuff, and I'm excited to see what happens with Galloway moving forward. Mataj and Donovan Weiss. Weiss, of course, coming off his first loss, but in one of the best, most beautiful kickboxing fights you're ever going to see in your life. Mataj Panaz, very, very good fighter from the Czech Republic, looking for his first step up. The Czech Republic, the problem with it is there are some talented fighters there. There are some talented athletes there. But, man, can they get lost in the shuffle, because there's also a lot of gyms that are not elite that are still producing fights. And I've known guys from the Czech Republic in the past to send some guys international who had, like, big records, and then those guys just get smashed on because they were never of the level anyways. So you always have to be cautious when you get someone from the area. Now, again, they've got some really good fighters, too. I'm just saying, you know, you guys, you've heard me on this show praise athletes, you know, throughout the years from the Czech Republic. But the main thing that I want to be conscious of is this kind of fight will show me a lot. Unfortunately, for Panaz, Donovan Weiss is one of the toughest first fights that you can have in your glory debut. But skill-wise, it's what I want to see from both guys. Can Donovan get back into that kill mode, getting his offensive flow and finding his kicks afterwards? Can Panaz come in and emerge as the new young fighter to pay attention to in the middleweight division? Fun matchup, good time, should be a good one. Mike Lemaire fights Arian Sedikovic. From Germany, and you know, Mike has been wanting to fight in France forever. He was born in France, but he was raised here in the States, and we've always used him in the U.S. cards, and he has asked over and over for an opportunity to finally fight in France. Fluent in French, that's where he comes from. Finally, the opportunity is here. If Mike can win, if Lemaire can win, man, will it go a long way, because he's a guy who actually has a good resume in two different weight classes. You know, definitely his middleweight weight, you know, run is solid. And then his run, of course, at welterweight so far so good. You know, he's doing good stuff. So I'm excited about seeing Lemaire, seeing what happens here. Lemaire's got an interesting style where he can score well in space, but he's also really good at suffocating and shutting off his opponent's offense. Real, real tactical. Arion Sudakovic. This is going to be his first big step-up opportunity. Solid fighter. I'm sure he feels, because he's used to European opposition, that he really should be able to win this one quite handily, or he should have the that experience should be on his side going in. But the strength of Lemaire as a welterweight is something else. So we'll see how this one matches up. It should be a good battle. Abdullah Ezbiri goes against Anvar Boynazarov. Boynazarov, of course, has fought a bajillion times. He's got a record as if he was a Thai. Ezbiri coming off of a year where it looks like he was in position to fight for the title. And then he ran into the current title holder, and he lost by, you know, a head kick KO. Losing to Pech, there's no shame there, because Pech is really, really good. But Ezbiri's trying to right the ship, wants to get some wins, get himself back into the title picture, and, you know, get a rematch and maybe be a better version of himself. Because he didn't get any offense going. He literally probably fought the best version of Pat Panamarung that you possibly could. And I think he would love another outing there. He's got victories of Masaki Nori, and he's got, you know, good glory. I mean, he won the four-man tournament when he first entered Glory Kickboxing. Ezbiri is very, very talented. He's so good. Boynazarov, we all know he's that hitter. He was able to be the stronger man and score the right points at the right time against a guy who, I mean, I guess physically I've heard people say different things when they look at the body of Bailey Sugden. And, you know, with his victory over Bailey, it showed that his power can still hold up against a guy who's kind of a savvier kickboxer. And so this one will go a long ways. This will go a long ways for telling us where he stands, because Ezbiri is going to be a more skilled kickboxer. Ezbiri beat him the first time they fought. And in that four-man tournament that I mentioned before, he just was able to score and move. Whereas Boynazarov was coming off the victory over Pinka and one of the just probably the craziest KOs I've ever seen in my life. My KO of the year that year. He's really, really talented. So it's going to be fun seeing these guys match up again. Zadin Hemerlain goes against Artur Gurulov. Here's my thing with this one. Artur Gurulov is a guy, 23-7. I've seen him fight a few times. He's a solid kickboxer, steady talent. We will see if his resume can build into a contender. Zinedine Hemerlain, we know, has the resume to be a contender. But his last performance, you know, against Micheletti, he mentioned later that he had some sort of back injury that he's working with or he's struggling with. It looked it. He did not look himself. He did not get into his offensive flow. He did not let the right hand go. He just played second the whole time, and he didn't really find do a good job playing second because he was probably because of the injury. That performance really, really baffled me. Like, I knew something was amiss. So when it came out later that he was injured and that he was just trying to fight through the injury because he's a prize fighter, shout out to him for being a warrior. But in this game, you got to be your best because you're going against the best in the world. So hopefully this time he'll be injury-free. Him and Golov will put on a great fight in the light heavyweight division. Mirko Groenart's going to go against Alim Dabayev. Of course, you guys know I've talked about Alim Dabayev on this show since he was 15, 16 years old. I've been watching him for a very long time. He is a talent. He can score in both stances. He's got good boxing, good step knees. His low kick game is okay. His high kick game is okay. But really, it's the boxing and the movement that makes him so tough to deal with. He strings it together really well. Mirko Groenart is one of the all-time great KO artists for the weight division. So you look at his record, I think what I have in front of me is 68-23-3. First of all, that's awesome, you know. But Grunhardt's fought everybody. He's fought so many talented guys at so many different weight classes. He has struggled with the weight class in the past, like or with the Russian style in the past. He can, for those who are wondering what I mean by the Russian style, the Russian style of kickboxing, anyways, is this style of what we would call aggressive place sparring, where the switching stances and turning the different speeds of your punches and hiding something big behind it and playing in flurries and playing with kicks that offset you in slight movement. That's the Russian style right now. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about, that's it. Dutch style would be strong combos and low kicks. Now, again, if you're in Holland, there's every coach and there's a lot of different styles. But worldwide, if you say, hey, what do you see consistently from these guys? You'll see strong boxing that leads to the low kicks. Okay, that one's really, really, really big. The England style of fighting is more of a hybrid of the Thai style and trying to play the Thai game, but with more emphasis in the boxing. So if I go to different parts of the world, you will see those sides step up. Of course, Thailand, straight Thai style with the body kicks. They can play the low kicks, but really they play with the body kicks and the subtle boxing and just the timing. So every, you know, a lot of different places in the world have their own style. And Nabiyev is one of the, you know, him, Artem Levin, those guys are guys who are at the top of the world and their peak as representatives of what we would call the Russian style. And you look at Mirko Groenhart, who he's not who I would say is a straight-up Dutch-style fighter. He plays with, you know, combos and kicks in space, but he really does a good job of finding his power. And he's going to have to do it in this one because just letting Nabiyev play the game in front of you is almost impossible. He is a tough, tough guy to fight. So it's going to be fun seeing those guys match up. The winner of that fight probably fights the for the title. Michael Duke gets a fight with Denagi Abenya. Again, this is a tale of who's going where. Michael Duke, of course, considered the heavyweight, the KO hitter in the division. He's got a real strong punch, and he's, you know, even though he's lost fights because people wonder where he is mentally, skill-wise, they don't ask that question because they know what he offers skill-wise. His skill is okay, but his KO power can get you. So if you get dragged into the game, or if he's got that look on his face that he wants to go to war, he's going to go to war. On the other hand, Abena is the opposite. Abena is a guy who's got okay KO power, but he's just a really good kickboxer for the division. Very good combos, gets into his low kick flow well, subtle movement. He can fight. Period, he can fight. So we're going to be, I'm curious to see what happens in this one. Will the KO hitter find his big shot, or Abena get into his kickboxing game? Should be interesting. D'Angelo Marshall goes against Daniel Svor. Once again, what I said about the Czech Republic. Daniel's fought, and I'd say okay internationally. His resume is just okay, and clearly he'd like it to be a little bit better. This is another opportunity to do that. D'Angelo Marshall, mixed results in his glory run. He came and won a four-man tournament, but since then, win one, lose one, kind of the step-up opportunities, he hasn't had the success that he's wanted, but the guys that he's the alpha over, he's able to get the stoppages on. So he's kind of in that middle ground of, what's he going to be? And he's got the look. He's a huge guy, technical for his size. We just want to know when it will all kind of come together. So score, Skvor for Daniel is going to come in looking to say, hey, I'm one of the better fighters in the world, even though I'm in a country that's got mixed results as far as the guys who we send international. He's trying to prove that he could be one of the better guys in the world. Marshall is trying to put it together and put together the kind of streak that gets him into a title contention. Because in the heavyweight division, it doesn't take much. You win three or four fights in a row? Shoot, you win three fights in a row, you could be right there. You win two fights in a row at the right time, you could be right there. So Marshall's looking to try to get this win and move forward. Anissa Mexen and Tiffany Von Seuss do it again. The first time they did it was in New York, and I thought that the scorecards were accurate. Most of them, I think there were two 49-46s and one 48-47 for Mexen. Mexen, of course, coming off of the redemption victory as she gets a KO win in New York. Tiffany Von Seuss. Also, the last time we saw her was in New York in one of the fights of the year. I mean, she really, really went out of it with Sophia Olofsson. So, again, you know what you're getting. Mexen's going to play on the bounce. Like, she comes in, she's got a bounce about her. She gets into your striking range, and she likes to play the counter. If you let her have single shots in space, she'll rip low kicks, and she'll find her boxing. And it's really tough to kick her and not get kicked back. She's usually ready. She's really, really good on the balls of her feet, so she can return kicks well. Tiffany Von Seuss, she's going to play, you know, as she calls it, poetry in motion. She's going to play with her movement. She's going to play with power shots from different stances. She's skilled. Like, she's a skilled girl. And she's one of the most recognizable Muay Thai kickboxers in America, period. Like just from America in the last 15 years. I'd say internationally, more people know who Tiffany is than a lot of the other fighters that we have here. But she'll go out there. The two will put on another battle. It'll probably be close again. This time it's going down in France. Went down in America. Last time for, you know, the American. This time it goes down in France. We will see what happens. Should be a good one for the two. We finish the card off with Hiroki Goran. He goes against Cedric Doumbé. Cedric Doumbé, of course, we know style-wise what both are bringing to the table. Hiroki Goran, it's as his coach Nicky Hemmer said, it's all or nothing. It's do or die. He's coming forward. He's going to look to throw his power shots. He's not waiting on nothing. He's not waiting for you to get comfortable. He's not waiting for him to get comfortable. He's coming for the kill. And that's what made him champion, and he's defended it once against the aforementioned Alim Nabiyev. This will be his second title defense. He's going against Cedric Doumbé. Doumbé does not feel like he's even, you know, ever lost the title, but he's performed really well since it happened. You know, he's you take away the loss that he had to Alim Nabiyev, and he's had a really good run. You know, I've liked his victories. I've liked his fights. He's a talent. You know, he can go combo to low kick from both stances. He's not, I would say before the last 2 years that I wouldn't say that he's the biggest heavy hitter. Like, he's a big killer. But, man, has he been stopping guys lately? Finding right. He's been dropping guys. He's just developed in every area of his game. I feel like Cedric Doumbé is still growing as a fighter, which is awesome. Because he really is not just a talented guy, but he's a showman. And he's the kind of guy where if he's your best fighter in the world, people are going to pay attention to who that champion is. He goes against Hiroki Goran, who's been in this game for so long. He had the Showtime run before the Glory run. He's just a hard-nosed, really, really good kickboxer, and he is your champion. So that's what wraps our card up, and one of the most... It's going to be a lot of fun. That is going to be a fun day of kickboxing, and I'll be watching that. I've got to work a fight later in the night, but I'm going to watch that before I leave because that one's going to be a lot of fun, good stuff. Good card, and hopefully we get a lot of good actions. I will be back next week, of course, to talk about that one. But we wrap up today's show with talk of the K-Festa event. Now, it should be noted, let me go ahead and say this right now. I was not able to get, you know, the version of the card I've got might be a little bit older. But I'm saying it anyway. So if you guys hear a fight that, you know, was canceled or moved around, I couldn't find a more updated one. I'm worried I might have something a little bit off. But whatever. We're going to go ahead and give you this fight card breakdown. And I'm going to talk about the significance of the fights that are of great note. But in the end, for those who are watching kickboxing this weekend, this card in Japan is really going to be a lot of fun. Kato Ozawa gets a fight with Hayato. Should be a good one in featherweight contest. Ozawa's always had mixed results. You know, it just never developed consistency. I think he's 12-7. You know, he just the kind of guy. 12-7 is the kind of record where it's like, hey, I'm doing all right, but I'm not going that much forward. Just it's a few steps forward, a few steps back. Kind of, you know, career for him. Hayata is also. He's a little bit different. He's had more consistency as far as his wins go. But, man, he's got some wins or some fights where it's like, all right, now this is going to be the moment where he steps up and becomes elite, and then he gets a loss. So it should be fun to see what happens there. I leaned towards Hayato to get the victory. Casey Kondo goes against Ruku. Ruku doing really well right now. I think that, you know, Kondo is serving the purpose of being a... I don't want to use the word victim, but I think that he is going to have a hard time with Ruku, who is talented and, you know, will probably stop Kondo. But, you know, I've been wrong before. I just don't think I'm going to be wrong here. I think Ruku is going to stop him. Gunapar Rusarek is going to go against Li Wei. Interesting that they went with this fight because it is two international guys. Now, the time of, normally, you know, for the K-1 cards, they usually only see international versus international if it's a tournament. But Louis, of course, has had some good success fighting in K-1, had the tournament win a couple of years ago. Gunapar, of course, is probably Japan's favorite Thai that they've ever brought over. Bukau was awesome, and of course, he's more notable, but he doesn't bring the war, and he doesn't allow himself to be as vulnerable as Gunapar does, which is why Gunapar is, he can win and lose at a high level. Now, against Louis, it's all about will he be able to get on him? You know, will he be able to score his big shots? I just think Wei's just too slick. Really, really good kickboxer. Gunapar, of course, is, you know, if he's going to win, it's because he's aggressive and he's going to land something that puts Wei down. But I think that Wei is slick enough to win kickboxing and keep his movement going. And he may even drop Gunapar because I'm starting to wonder about Gunapar's chin because he's been dropped by guys who I wouldn't consider hitters. So we shall see where that one leads us. In a really fun fight, Fumiya Asawa against Yuta Shinohara. Shinohara, of course, is being groomed. As you know, he's getting some good wins. He's getting some consistency. He could be something down the road. Asawa is, again, you know, I think his record's 23-15 or something like that, 23-16, something around there. And it's like a guy who, he's got talent, but I always feel, kind of seen him as, you know, the Daniel Sam of the division. A workman guy who's going to give good rounds. But if you're a prospect, you've got a good record and you're moving forward, you're probably not going to be able to get a victory. Or excuse me, you probably expect to get a victory over Asawa. So we will see if Shinohara does that. To me, he has to. Or else you are just going to kind of stay in that same area as a kickboxer. Now, this 90kg fight at cruiserweight, it is for, I believe it's for their title, as Sena Kurumane gets a fight with Hisaki Kato. They would love it if Kato could get a victory here. Kurumane showed me some good stuff. You know, Iran's not really considered, you know, a huge kickboxing company or country, but, like, he had a good run, and he's looked good in the fights that I've seen him in so far. Kato, of course, is also having a good run at 90kgs. Talented. I just think that, you know, it's a bigger weight division, and if they could somehow get a champion that's heavyweight or close to champion or close to heavyweight as far as Japan goes, they would really push that person a lot. Because I'm just remembering who got pushed in the past, and you know, Musashi, it took a while for him to become one of the better kickboxers in the world because he got thrown to the wolves so early because they were trying to find another Sasaki, but it just didn't happen, you know. I think that Kato gets a victory here. They're probably going to give him the soft treatment while he's the champion for a little while, just in case. But we shall see if the champion holds. I personally lean towards the upset happening. I wanted to say Kurumane is going to stay champion, but something in me thinks there's a good chance that Kato can put off the upset. Koya Arabe, one of my children, is going to go against Hayashi Kenta. This is a fun fight, title fight. Kenta, of course, been doing it for a while. Very, very good fighter. Solid record. I'm never going to go against my kids. You guys know how I felt about that. Koya Arabe, I've been watching him since he was in the, you know, the Koshin tournaments. And just, he's a talent. He's a talent. He's a tough southpaw. I think he's going to score something to get at least a score a down. I don't know if he gets the KO on this one. But he's at least going to get a knockdown at some period of time. I like Koya Arabe, one of my children, to win and move forward. Next, Super Bantamweight 55kgs. We're looking at, this is important because when you start talking about 55 and 58, you're looking at people who could possibly be, you know, in the fight with, you know, the War King, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. Akihiro Kaneko is going to bring his undefeated record against Shihi Kimura. Great fight. Great fight, great time. Kaneko has a lot of skill. A lot of talent. I want to see if he can emerge and be one of the stars in the lighter weight classes. Right now, I think that he's showing the potential, but I don't know if I'm going to be like, that's a lock. Kimura is good test for him because Kimura is good. You know, real good record, solid fighter. It's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. Either victor is fine for me because I've got no problem with people losing kickboxing fights. Boxing's a little bit different. You know, you lose, you could be out of the picture for a long time. You know, MMA, same thing. Wrong loss, wrong time, puts you back like 2 years. This is not the case. I think Kaneko is going to be fine if he loses, but I really like his skill set to get the victory here over Kimura. Should be a good fight no matter what. Kosuke Kamiyama gets a fight with Masanobu Gashi. Goshu. I went against Goshu in the past, and I was like, man, Goshu ain't won this fight. And then Goshu went out there and won that fight. And I think that him and Komiyama is a good fight, good time. It's kind of a coin toss in my mind. I'm going to lean Goshu only because I went against him last time. But it should be a lot of fun. See how these guys go. Should be a good back and forth to 60kgs. Next, we move to 65kgs as Yusumi Soda gets victory over Masaya Matsuhana. Soda is, again, both guys are, you know, good wins, you know, but they also have the kind of losses that keep them from being elite. And I think if you are going to be elite or if you're going to be remembered in the weight class, the two ways of doing it in kickboxing is to have an incredible streak or to get incredible wins. And I think that this is a battle of two guys who have kind of had mixed results of both. So I think that Soda is going to be, I lean for him to win this fight. Man, Matsuhana, I want to say your name, but I'm just going to go ahead and hold on it. I think Soda wins this fight, and I'm curious to see what happens with him afterwards. 65 kgs is tough, and we all know that Misaki Nori reigns in the division, but we shall see. Daizo Sasaki gets a fight with Rikia Anpo. Anpo, of course, is on fire right now. I think Anpo wins. I think he wins by stoppage. Sasaki is a good fighter, good hard test for people. But I believe in this particular fight that Rikia Anpo is just better. Better, and I think he's going to get the stoppage victory. Yuta Morikoshi takes on Hirotaka Arabe, the other Arabe brother. Of course, there's a period of time where Hirotaka Arabe was like clear the guy, you know, like I had no questions in my mind. This guy is he's so violent and he's going to be the future of kickboxing. And he would just have these just baffling losses and these baffling, not just that he lost the fight, but just his mental makeup for winning the fight. I mean, dude, you did a jumping knee, you know, to your brother and a spin hook kick to your brother. How are you going to go out there and just stare at, you know, like the likes of like a Kenta or something like that? Like, it seems like it goes away at times. He goes against Murakashi, who is the current champion, and Murakashi will come in and produce a good, clean kickboxing game. So if Arabe ain't on his game, if he is the version of himself that we aren't a fan of, he will lose this fight. But something in me thinks it's going to be a good night for the Arabe brothers. You know, Hirotaka is very good. He's not my kid, though. he's just a really talented kickboxer, and I think he's going to win the title back. Yuta Kubo goes against Yoshihiro Kido. We like this fight because it is... Kido, of course, is one of the better showmen in kickboxing. You know, the videos that he does are so funny, and he just really sells himself. I think it's cool. I think it's really, really cool that he's out there, you know, selling himself in that way. Yuta Kubo is a talent. You know, I watched a video on him. They're doing like this video lead up, and he's driving around with his girlfriend in a Ferrari, and just I believe she's a TV personality. I couldn't, you know, I'm not sure all the way who she is, but just saw them out, and I saw him working hard in the gym. He is the way that it showed him training was him doing a lot of volume striking, which isn't his style. Like, he's a good kickboxer with good step back offense, and he's got good skill. Kido, of course, should be the bigger man in this one. Of course, he's had, you know, success at 154. It should be a good fight. I am going to choose the bigger guy. I'm going to go with Yoshihiro Kido to beat Yuta Kubo. Now, Kubo is good and could very well win. But if Kido can stay on, in particular, if he can keep his kick offense going, he could be the victor in this one. And he's got better wins against bigger people. Kubo, of course, had that magical run where he was glory champion once upon a time. Beat Misaki Nori in that tournament. But I really, really lean towards the victor of this one being the bigger man in Yoshihiro Kido. Yusuke Takai goes against Alex Rivas. Alex Rivas is a solid talent that is not going to beat Yusuke Takai. I'm not going to rule it out because of the fight and anything could happen. But not only is Takai winning, but he's just on a streak. And he's just looked fantastic. And he's got some KO candidates of the year, you know, for KO of the year. And you see his highlights and everybody's like, oh, this guy. As soon as you see this, you know, the scissor kick KO, you're like, oh, it's this guy. So I'm excited to see him do his thing and hopefully continue to reign and do good stuff in that division. In the manliest of fights, Misaki Nori is going to take on Jordan Piquet. This is just an all-man fight because Misaki Nori is fighting up against a guy who usually fights at 154, the kind of guy who is, he has the skill to be one of the better fighters on the, you know, of his era from Misaki Nori. He could be one of the better fighters from Japan of all time. Jordan Piquet is just way bigger. A bigger guy who plays a power game is going to be aggressive and throw offense. So the question is, can the kickboxing skill of Misaki Nori get past the strong brute power of Jordan Piquet? Like, that is what it is. That's what it comes down to. And my answer is I'm never going against my kids. Misaki Nori is going to pull off the upset on Saturday because it's only an upset because Piquet is bigger. Like, Jordan is a bigger guy. And, of course, he's been the longtime, you know, champion and crush. He could hold that title for quite some time because he's so much bigger than the guys that they bring in. He better not ever lose that title because if he loses it, he ain't coming back to Japan. They lesson learned. So, like, he better be aggressive in those. In this one, though, he can just go out there, be himself, the bigger, stronger guy. He's going to throw the heavier shots. Misaki Nori is going to play with a strong defensive shell and look for his low kick game. And I think when it's all said and done, he will outpoint, you know, Jordan, unless Jordan gets a knockdown. If Jordan gets a knockdown in the fight, then Nori will win in an extra round. We go ahead and move to the next fight on the card as Ryusei Ashizawa gets a fight with Jorge Varela. Ashizawa is going to be in what I think is going to be a solid competitive fight. But I think that Varela might be one of the guys on this card who has a good chance of pulling off. I think your safe bet is to go with Ashizawa, you know, because go with the Japanese guy. But, man, I think Jorge's got a good shot in this one. I think that he'll be able to keep it close. I've seen him slow before, but, you know, we'll see. But I think that Ashizawa is the favorite, but I'm going to lean for an upset here. I'm going to go with Jorge Varela. Kana is going to go against Josephine Knudsen. Seen Josephine fight several times before. More of a full rules Muay Thai stylist. She's going to go against Kana. Kana can kickbox, and she's finding her groove, and she wants the responsibility of making kickboxing big. Like she said, hey, people know Masato. Like they just know him for kickboxing. I want to be the kickboxing Masato. You know, it's just, that's how big Masato was. Like, Mizuki in MMA says, I want to just be Mizuki because that's what Masato is. Masato kills your last name. It's all about your first name. So Ghana's going to go out there, put in good work. She's just got more kickboxing skill, and Knutson's going to come forward and look to land offense, and she'll go to clinch a couple times, and then they're going to stop her from getting clinched. She's going to have to figure out how to win a kickboxing battle with Kana, which is tough because Kana moves. She's got a good low kick game, but Kana has really, really good timing on finding her power shots. So we shall see. And by we shall see, Kana's going to win. Kimura Minoru of Brazil, of course, a guy who I've talked about on the show many times, the Brazilian born, but, you know, fluent Japanese-speaking fighter who's been living and training and having success in Japan for a while. He's going against Hiromu Ujima. Last year, Kimura did a good job of righting the ship in his career. He had a bunch of KOs. He's got a new signature where he gets a KO and he goes and he puts his hands behind his back and he stares at one of the cameras off with his opponent laying behind him. I'm expecting that to happen in this one. Now, Ujima is a talent. He's very good, you know, 9-2. He can very well win this fight, particularly because the weight class, 68 kgs. So because they're bigger, Minoru is a guy who at first they were using at, you know, 65-ish and a little bit below. So it could definitely be, you know, something that works in Hiromi's favor. But I just think that this fight was made so that Minoru can get the KO and get the highlight look. So we shall see. Should be a good one. Cozy goes against Jan Zizeko of Germany. Weird fight. Cozy is a good long-term, you know, kind of a veteran in K1, but no one that I, like, jump out of the gym about. I could see Jan pulling off the upset, but I'll lean towards the hometown guy because normally if they're bringing in a European like that, they've done it for a reason. And then the last fight on this card is the War King himself, Takuro, as he goes against Yut Kitsada, the Thai. And again, it's just about how old the Thai is, you know, like they usually bring in the right person, right time. You know, Yut Kitsada is going to play a kickboxing game in space. He's going to look for, you know, single kicks and counters with his offense, and he'll be aggressive in spots. But he won't be able to play that game forever because Takuro is coming. And he's going to just keep throwing his warhammers until somebody dies. He's just that kind of a person. I could see him getting dropped in this one and getting back up and still winning by KO. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to score a knockdown, and he'll win by stoppage or he'll win by TKO. It's just He's bringing it. He ain't waiting on nobody. He is bringing it. Expect more violence from the War King himself, Takeru. So that's it. That's my podcast. I apologize. I'll have to come back next week and tell you guys all the results of all this. But I gave you a longer episode because I've been gone. Hope you enjoy it. I'll try to be consistent with my kickboxing coverage. And see you guys next week. It is Tuesday, so let's see if I can come back and do an episode on Monday of next week. Thank you all for your time. God bless and have a good one. Peace.